We're going to be looking at the theme through some of the nature programs and the activities, and we're going to just be enjoying and rejoicing in what God has created and the lessons that we can learn from that. So as we look at water, day one of creation, God makes water and the deep, and it's powerful and it's huge and it's abundant, and it seems to be really essential to the rest of creation and very essential to life. And then on day five, God fills it. It's teeming with living creatures. And so there we see God's amazing handiwork in the creatures that he has made and the things that we can appreciate and learn from those creatures as well. So we're going to go through our nature programs first. I need lots of participation. I'm all prepared here for people to help me out. This is the time you get to be campers, right? Today you're kind of campers, so enjoy it, embrace it, get involved, and that will make it a really good time for us. So we're going to first look at our program of Creators Aquarium that's going to be hosted over at the Investigation Center. We're going to be looking at our native fish and creatures in big aquariums and getting up close, getting our faces really close to be able to see the design that God has put into them. We're going to be looking at that they're created from the beginning to thrive in that watery environment. They didn't come about by time and chance and the methods and theories of evolution. They came about by God creating them. And they're within their kinds, and they have an amazing ability to adapt and fill, which is what he told them to do in that watery environment. So we're going to be looking at maybe turtles and maybe bass and panfish, maybe a catfish. We'll see what kind we can get in there to enjoy the uniqueness of them. So, but since I don't have fish with me today, I need a few people to pretend to be fish, because I saw two hands right over here and one hand right there. Okay. And so I need them on the stools here. But then I need three other people that, keep in mind, we're not trying to catch these fish. We're trying to feed these fish. Just keep that in mind, okay? And so I had one hand back there, and I need two more. Should I make their wives come up here? Okay, right there, those two. Okay, so as fish, you guys don't have hands, okay? So no hands. And my other people, remember, you're feeding them, not catching them. So I know I kind of set you up mentally to think this is a fishing pole. We're not fishing in this program. We're fishing in another program, okay? So, but you're just going to use this to feed your fish, and the fish have to eat it without hands, okay? And I need you guys to kind of observe that ability or maybe struggle that's going on, okay? So go ahead and start feeding your fish when you have your little snack there. Yeah. Oh, he's already done. He's a gulper, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Okay, let's see. Are these guys nibblers, or, you know, how do they eat? He's a chomper, okay? Good. Oh, I didn't see that one down there. Okay, give them a hand. They did a great job. You are done. Well, no, actually, the fish need to stay here for me. Fish, stay here. Okay. So just explain to me a little bit, like, what was the difficulty or the ease of eating in that way?
Well, I couldn't just yank the rope out. I had the food, but I couldn't just take it.
Okay, so it wasn't like really available. You had to work at it a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. Any observations of that experience?
My wife has pretty steady hands, so I was pretty confident.
Okay, so good partnership there, helping you out.
Wasn't too hard.
Good job. Phil, any observations?
I was dependent on the person feeding me
okay.
to have it where I could actually reach it.
Okay, very good. Now, for these guys observing out here, what looked awkward or difficult about their task? Yeah. So these guys have a bendy neck, the way their head is situated. That's people, right? Okay. Fish are not so much that way. Okay. they're kind of straight. And so when they go to feed, so we're kind of looking at some of the anatomy and design that God put into fish, where their mouth is placed helps us know how they feed. Okay, so this guy's mouth is straightforward, and he would be probably going after other swimming creatures, and he's going to eat straightforward. Okay, but if you fish for little panfish, little bluegill and stuff, you'll notice their mouth is tipped upward. You guys would have benefited from an upward tipped mouth because they hit the top of the water and eat on the top. But then if you think of a catfish, I know you guys were catfish. If we put it down here, we could have demonstrated some catfish maneuvers because their mouth is tipped down and they're bottom feeders. Okay, so just by looking at some of the anatomy of God's creatures, they tell us where he designed them to live and thrive. All right, thank you guys. You can have a seat. All right, another program that's going to happen down on our streams at the far end of the valley. We're going to have some walking this year. So when you go to programs, walk with energy because we got to get down to the water source. Okay, so just warning you ahead of time, they're a little far out there, some of our locations. So for fishers and men, we're going to be out by the stream and we're going to be learning about the equipment and how-tos of fishing and catching fish. And then we're going to be connecting that to how we become fishers of men and the tools and techniques that we can use to share the good news of Jesus with people around us and catch them for Christ so they become followers of Christ as well. And so we're gonna practice a skill. All of you here are gonna practice. So you're all involved, sorry. No volunteers this time. You're just gonna have to do some things for me. So it takes a little time to practice and learn a new skill, and that's kind of the case in life, right? We got to practice talking to people and learning new skills. And so we're going to pass strings down and rings down, and I need you to work in pairs, okay? So one string every other person and one ring every other person, and then we're going to learn how to tie a fisherman's knot, an improved cinch knot, and we'll see if you can pick that up. So I need some people to pass out a few things for me, if we can get that done really quick. So pass that down the line. We need, just grab a handful, pass it down, and you take one every other person because you're going to work in pairs. I think that'll be enough if you want to. Oh yeah, you can keep on going. Yeah. Do I have any fishermen in the building? Okay, there we go. What do you like to fish for? What kind of fish do you go after? Bluegill. Okay, yeah, nice little panfish. Okay, so the person that is going to be the fishing pole needs to be holding the string and the ring, and you're the fishing pole, okay? So then the person that's not holding anything has to do the tying of the knot. Okay? We got that? Okay, so Tim's going to be my fishing pole. Okay? Tim's the fishing pole. And he's going to hold the string as though it's coming off the rod. Okay? And then this ring represents the eye of your hook. And he's going to, you still need a string? Andy, you got more strings, or Drew over here? Okay, and then the fishing rod person is also going to hold the hook, okay? And now the other person is tying the knot. Are we all there, mostly? Okay, we're gonna start here. Okay, so see how the fishing rod is holding string up and the hook is kind of down toward the end of the string. That helps your tying person out, okay? So you're going to take the end of your fishing line. It's going to go through the eye of the hook, that ring there, and you're going to pull it up. You know, you can have about 4 inches or so there. Now you're going to take the end of that string and you're going to wrap it around your standing line, the tight one, 5 times. Okay. All Now you're going to take the end of that line. Notice the hole down by your hook, that ring, the eye hook. You're going to take the end of that line and pass it through that hole, that first hole, by the hook. Okay. And then you have this big hole that you just created by taking your end of your line down, that big hole along the side. You only have one more move left. Hang with me. You're going to take the end of the line through that big sideways hole that you created by bringing the end of your line down. And now you cinch it all down. It's okay if it doesn't look pretty. And there you go. You're not going to lose your hook. You got it all tied on. Okay, if that doesn't make sense, that's okay. That would be a skill that you might have to practice, right? And so as we go through this program, we're going to be kind of looking into our tackle box as we look at the tools and the things that are available for us as we're trying to catch fish, different lures and hooks and all these cool things. But then we're also going to be looking at tools that we can use to be fishers of men. We're going to walk through sharing the gospel with a tract. We're going to think about how we can share the good news of the Lord Jesus by telling his story in our life. We're going to think about different ways that we can serve people and therefore have conversations about God. So we're going to think about the tools of fishing as well as the tools of being fishers of men, do a little practice, and enjoy serving people and catching fish. Now, if you want to pass those strings down to the end of your line somewhere, unless you want to keep trying and fiddling with them, that's fine. All right, another program we're going to be doing is our pond life encounter, okay? So a lot of times we think about creatures in the water in as the fish and the bigger ones that we see, but there's actually a ton more life in that water if we take a closer look, okay? And so we're going to be using different tools to capture and catch the smaller life in the water, and we're going to see that it is just abundantly full of life. And we're going to explore how God has provided for that life, how he has created the earth to support life, and that we're a part of that. We're supposed to be a part of that, and we can make the world abundant and beautiful, and we interact with what God has made. So I have different samples here that you can take a look at. I think they're still alive. I think they still have oxygen in there. This one's not alive, so don't be scared of that one, okay? He's not alive. So I'll just kind of randomly distribute these, and you can pass them around, take a look. But we're also going to be looking with microscopes, because what you can see with your eye right now is kind of some of the bigger creatures. And so we're also wanting to take a look at the small life that you see underneath a microscope. So campers are going to be going out and getting samples and exploring, bringing them back and looking at them closely and learning how God has made all these different environments for his glory, for our benefit, and we can enjoy interacting in those environments. We're going to end the program with learning how and skipping stones. Because for some reason, when we get close to a body of water, you just want to whip something into it. And so we're just going to have fun doing that and do some skipping of stones as well. Is anybody able to identify what you're seeing in some of those samples? Anybody have an idea? All right, guys, you only get a look at it for like a half a second. Otherwise, it's going to be out there forever. But good job. You're being good campers. Anybody have the one that's kind of large and scary? It went that way. Anybody know what that is? Do you have an idea what it is?
A bug.
He is a bug. Good job. He's actually a true bug. He is a water bug.
Yeah.
Good job. He's a giant diving beetle, water beetle, water bug. Okay. So, but you're seeing him in his adult form. He flies when he's an adult. This guy flies. But the rest of their life, they're mostly in water, and they're a predator. They go after other creatures, even a little tadpole.
Are they here?
They are here. Yes. They are in your ponds. Okay, you can keep passing those and looking at them as we keep moving on to another program. All right, we're going to look at water itself in Wonders of Water. The molecule of water is amazing. It's a molecule for life. The properties that it has is really important for supporting life and doing all that it needs to do in our world. It's an incredible molecule. You might recognize some of those people up there if you look closely. These are 10 years ago pictures, so some of them are a little younger. Marianne doesn't age. She's the same. So I need a person that is rather trusting and adventurous to come up and sit on one of my chairs. Okay? I got a volunteer over here. Right here. Okay? And then I need someone that kind of has a steady hand. Anybody have a steady hand? Steady hand? Russ? Okay, very good. So the molecule of water gives it properties to the adhesion and being able to absorb and have things in solution and all these things that water does really, really well. And so we're going to illustrate one of those properties. Okay, you can come with me here. You just sit right there. No, just focus forward. Okay? Don't be concerned at all with what's going on back here. Okay, so Russ, I need you to pour water into that cup there, about half full. He only splashed a little bit. It's okay. Okay, that's good. Okay, now you're going to place this on it, okay? And you're going to hold your hand on it and tip it upside down over that bowl, okay? That's the steady hand part. Wait, you are going to have to move while you're holding it, so you might want to be standing up. Maybe. Okay. There you go. Yep, flip it over.
Oh. Oh, there's still water there. It's okay.
Are we good? Are we good?
Maybe.
Okay, let's see.
Oh, I have to lift. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. My instructions were lacking. Okay, so now... Are you concerned at all? You doing okay? Oh, straight forward. Don't look back here.
So you want me to hold it?
Okay, so now just hold the cup up here. Just the top. It's upside down, but it's okay. And then you're going to just very gently bring it over his head and just hang out there for a little bit. And he's very... Don't hit his head. Up. Okay, phew. All right, over his head. Don't jiggle too much. Okay, little farther forward. Okay, now you can tip your head and look up if you'd like and see what's up there. There you go. Okay, now there's water in that cup, and there's nothing holding that card on but water. Water has a sticky adhesion property to it that's holding that card and preventing you from becoming wet. And Russ is doing really good at being steady, because if he shook it, you might get wet, okay? So, Russ, how about you bring it back over here and set it down in the bucket there. Good job. Give him a hand. All right, you can have a seat. All right, so we'll be doing different various experiments to illustrate those properties of water and then tying them into characteristics of the Lord Jesus as the living water. There's a lot of tie-ins to how he gives us spiritual life, how he washes away our sins. All those things make great connections of looking at water and the Bible using that illustration of the Lord Jesus being spiritual, living water. Okay? Now, another program we're going to be looking at, this one is a little bit difficult because it's really hard to bring the ocean to camp. Okay, so, but we're going to be looking at marine life and the oceans. And the oceans are vast. They're a little mysterious. There's a lot of unknowns to them. They're a little intimidating, maybe a little scary. There's some environments to them that are not so great for hosting our life, but other life lives there. And so I'm going to pass around these boxes, and I want you to experience some elements of the ocean in various forms or representations of the elements of the ocean. And we got to experience some of that mystery by not looking in the box. Just push up that little piece of paper and stick your hand in there, okay? And see what's in there and see if you can identify it with just your hand. Don't tell anybody what you think it is. Don't spoil the surprise for the people beside you, okay? And so, and if you can keep track of what you think is in the numbered box. So let's, we'll have one and two make their way this way as you zigzag through the crowd, okay? If you want to start those down there. And then three and four, we're kind of go opposite. I'll start back there and they're zigzag forward, okay? Try not to spout out what you think it is. Try to hold some of your reaction inside if there's anything surprising. And we'll enjoy this. Sorry, I just keep coming to you. I don't know why. You're in a good spot.
All right, you're in. I bet. You're scared about this one. I feel like it's scared.
Oh, sorry, stepping on you, Russ. Now, as you're passing those, if you're not currently feeling, those pictures up there are not pictures of camp, right? Those are, we don't have those here at camp. But they're illustrating some of the directions that we're going to go with the program. We're going to be looking at the exploration of the ocean, some of those deep, deep, deep areas that we're starting to explore with some pretty cool machinery to get down there and take pictures and do testing. That octopus on the side, he's the mimic octopus. Crazy, amazing creature that God has put designs into him just to illustrate his ability to design things and make them funny and interesting and beautiful. And so we'll be looking at some of the creatures as well. Ignore that part of the room. They're doing fine. And then that middle picture is amazing property. Some sea creatures let off light. And so we're going to be looking at algae and that bioluminescence property there that is just amazing as well. So we're trying to bring a little bit of the, there shouldn't be any sound to it. If it's making noise. At least when I put it in there, it wasn't making noise. Okay, we'll keep that going, and I'll come pester you a little bit. Who's been to the ocean before? Okay, you guys just were to the ocean. Just to the ocean. What was one thing that amazed you about the ocean?
I really enjoyed the tide pools. When the tide went out and it was low tide, all the little holes held critters and special things, and it was super cool to see it where it lived instead of in a museum and an aquarium.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, who else has been to the ocean? Mm-hmm. Going back to my favorite corner. I just always end up back here. All right, tell me something. I'll get to you guys eventually. Something amazing about the ocean when you were there.
Its size.
Massive. Huge. Yeah. Okay, ocean. Something you enjoyed about the ocean.
I like the waves.
Okay, like playing in them, watching them.
I like boogie boarding, yeah, playing in them.
Yeah, playing in them, yeah. Just enjoying the power of those waves. All right, anybody from this section been to the ocean? What do you enjoy about the ocean?
The variety of shells and rocks and interesting things that have been left on the shore.
Anybody been out on the far ocean? Like not the shore, but you've been on a ship or something where you get to experience the deep. I know Ruth's been out on a big ship. What's the ocean like when you're out in the middle and you can't see land?
Rock and roll without music. And you pray.
And you pray, okay? Yeah, the power of the deep there, okay? I haven't been to this section. Anybody here about the ocean? I saw her hand first, sorry. Something you enjoy or amazed about the ocean?
The animals, the wildlife, like seeing whales that just move effortlessly through this deep.
Yeah. So in Genesis, it talks about the great sea creatures. There's some big, big sea creatures, right? That effortlessly move and live there. How are our boxes doing? Raise your hand if you've seen all four. Okay, that section. Okay, we're still working over here. You guys are doing good. I haven't heard too many screeches or reflexes going on. That was a good one. I saw a good reaction there. Good job. Okay, these guys have 3 and 4. 1 and 2, one's moving there. Where's number 2? 2's still moving? Okay. So as we think about the ocean and that vastness, that power, that mystery, that fearfulness that it can bring a little bit, then we're going to be thinking about how God can be our refuge and help us overcome those fears. And we're going to be looking at that idea to explore and find truth. And as we look at the ocean, we're going to be talking about truths about the ocean, and we're going to be courageous, and we're going to be brave, and we're going to dispel some of the myths that are being told about the oceans. Our oceans are doing well. They're not in crisis. And we're going to see how God has made them to be abundant and robust and do what they do. And so we're going to rejoice in that and dispel some of the fears that are being out there about our oceans and enjoy what God has made in a little scale here at camp. So we are getting close. Is box number 1 still moving? Okay, box number 4 is almost done. So okay. So you might miss the box because just for time here, we might have to do that. Has 3 gone all the way around?
No.
Oh, you got to experience 3. Okay. How about 1 and 2? Are we about done with 1 and 2?
Yeah, we got them all now.
Okay. Is that okay? Did you like that one? Okay, so now we're going to reveal some of our boxes. What do you, can you remember what was in 2? What do you think was in number 2? Shy. Okay, she's doing a good guess because it was kind of pokey, right? Okay, so this is one that's just representing some of our unique creatures in the sea, little puffer fish. I don't think they make that noise, but you know. So that's what was in number 2. He wasn't alive, so we were all good there. All right, what's another one that we're maybe finished with? Yes, Dick. Number 1. Okay, number 1, that might be what you were thinking of, Jacob. Okay. You guys can come stick your hands in them later if you need to. Okay. All right. What was in number one? What did you think?
I think it was rock, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Something hard. I got to take it apart here to get it out. So amazing places are coral reefs. Okay. So there's a piece of coral. Okay. We're in process of identifying the coral we have here at camp. If that's one of your skills and you can do that quickly, let me know. Okay. So we'll figure out what that guy is before summer. All right. Where is box number four? Or I know where three is. Okay. We're doing box number four. All right. What did you guys think was in box number four? Any guesses? A shell. I'm hearing a shell. Okay. So all that amazing, beautiful shell life that Katie was mentioning finding on the beach. Okay. And so that's a very cool part of the ocean as well. Okay. And number three is still going around, still moving. So within the realm of water, creatures have different ways to protect themselves from their environment or other creatures that might want to eat them or humans that might want to pick them up. So there's different ways that they protect themselves, and fish will tend to have it's getting away from them. Nearly jumped away. Has it been through this section? No. You had it. Okay. I'll work on an organized way of passing things next time. Watch people's faces if you're bored right now. Just watch that box and watch faces. Okay, now I haven't got to you, and I just think it would be so fun if you guys would enjoy putting your hand in there. She hasn't.
No, she won't.
Oh, but it went past you.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you had an opportunity. Okay. I won't make you. She chose not to. That's okay. That's good. Sorry, didn't mean to put you on the spot. I thought I was giving you opportunity. Oh, sure. She volunteered. Note that she volunteered.
I'm gonna move.
Oh. All right, so what is in box number three? What do we think? Jake? It was slime, right? So just a little concoction of Elmer's glue and stuff, you know. There it is, okay? But we're going to take a look at the hagfish, and he makes his own slime, lots of it for a creature of his size, and it's just kind of fun. So just wanted you to experience a little bit of cold slime today. All right, now our sixth program, I think we have one more to look at here, is our trout stream exploration. Camp has had a raceway for... Are you guys all cookie now? Yep. Where we've raised trout for many years, and so we love taking campers down there to see the trout and experience the streams around them, and we'll be looking at what is a good setting, good conditions for trout to thrive. So campers will be doing stream surveys and chemical testing of the water, as well as seeing the trout within the pond there and learning about them. And as we learn about the conditions for trout to thrive in their waters, we'll also be thinking about how we as Christians need to be considering our setting, and are we in a setting that allows us to thrive for the Lord Jesus? Are we bringing things into our lives? Are we studying the Word? Are we setting up conditions that are going to allow us to live and serve the Lord well? Okay, so as we think about testing our setting and knowing what's going on around us, I need five people that I don't have a lot of scientific instruments with me today, but you just yourself are a little bit of a scientific instrument as you use your senses to explore. So I need five people that want to use their hands to do some testing for me. I'll take nominations if I don't have volunteers. I can have up to five. I can take two more. There we go. Okay, so you're gonna get, well, Mr. Campbell, he's a scientifically minded guy. He might be good. Here, Jay. You and Jake can work on the same paper, okay?
Sure.
Okay, so all you have to do is I have three buckets over here, and you're gonna stick your hand in the bucket, and you're going to sense and determine by the sensors in your hand, working with your brain, what is the temperature of that water. And then you're gonna write down. That's it, really simple. No. Please put it in a Fahrenheit scale for me if you can. I suppose you could use the Celsius if you really want to, okay? But I need a number, okay? So you guys can just kind of gather around here. No cheating, there are thermometers in there. Don't be looking at the thermometers, okay? And we're gonna just see who has the most accurate sensing mechanisms in their hands. You gotta come up with your own number, no sharing of numbers with each other. Now your tongue is really sensitive, so I suppose if you're having a difficulty with your hand, you could use another instrument. Okay, are we getting close to done? Anybody need to check? Make another? Now, as we're thinking about water temperature in regards to fish, trout like to be in cold water. Cold water holds a higher amount of oxygen, and so they will go to the cold water streams or deep in the lake if they're lake trout, to be where that cold water, higher oxygen is, where like your carp, he's much better with lower oxygen, so he'll be in those warm water places. Okay, so let's see. Let's start with number one. All right, what were your number one guesses for temperature?
40, 42.
35 and a half.
38.
Okay, okay. And We are at 43.
Whoa.
Were you a half off? No, you were in 30. Somebody said 42. 42. Very, very close. Very good, very good, very good. Okay, what was your reading for number two?
100. 82.
84.
99. 105.
We are at 102.
Wow.
Good job, good job. So I think you might, was he the closest on that one? Okay. All right, and now number three.
65,
66.
70, 75.
We are running at 65.
Whoa.
All right, that's pretty amazing, guys. That you were very much in the range. Isn't that cool that God has built into us that ability to sense those things? And fish, you can keep that card. And fish living in that watery environment are even much more aware and precise of those things in the water. So you can leave your stuff here unless you want to keep it. And thank you guys. Okay, so that takes us through our six creation programs that the campers are going to experience. And then we want to look briefly at two of our themed events that will be going along with this. So our event day will be our extreme H2O, where we kind of expand on our water day events. So we just have fun down in the field by the rec room through the barn, doing different water obstacle course kind of things, earning tickets and for your team. So if you're willing to get really wet, you're going to earn more tickets for your team. We're going to hopefully build a water slide off the hillside next to the outdoor chapel. And that maybe we can exit from chapel down the slide. No, maybe not. And then just different ways to get wet and enjoy being together, forming relationships, having fun together. You start to build relationships when you get someone else wet. Just somehow you become friends after you do that. And then for our older ages, we're going to be doing orienteering as our team building segment. So we have the dry land portion of it, right, as far as finding your resources, but then we also have the wet water portion of it. Depending on how well you work together, determines how wet you get later in the afternoon as you go through that experience. Okay, so those are for our seventh graders up through high school that will be doing that experience. Okay, so there we go. I think we worked all the way through our programs and our theme events.